Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. I hope all of you husbands rose this morning and told your wives that very same phrase that we just had read by us, by Vince, that there are a lot of excellent women out there, but you surpass them all. So if you didn't, feel free to afterwards and let your brides know, let those mothers in your life know what a wonderful job they have done, and they have raised you and raised others in their lives. And we are very thankful. And again, I want to reiterate what has already been reiterated a lot to you this morning. Happy Mother's Day. And we love you so much and for everything that you have done for us. And this morning, we're going to be talking about that idea of looking at mothers. And I know today can be a joyous day for a lot of us, but it's also a hard day for some of us. Some days, and some people may be going through their first Mother's Day without their mother. And some people may be struggling with that, but what I want to do is as we go throughout this lesson and we talk about this idea of mothers and having mothers in our life and how thankful we are, I want to remember the memories that you have and that we have with those women in our life who have helped us and helped shape who we are today and the people that we are today. And so that's what we're going to be doing as we go throughout this lesson. And again, I'm so thankful to see you. What a beautiful day it is today. Heather told me this morning, she said, I thought it was supposed to be raining. Well, look, it's beautiful, sunshiny. You didn't get to have to mess up your dresses today. Everybody gets to go and take beautiful pictures out in the lobby after this. What a wonderful day it is. Now, when you start to look at Mother's Day, I found some statistics on how it's become such a commercialized holiday. Notice that in 2022, Americans planned to spend $31.7 billion on specific Mother's Day gifts, right? And there's a bunch of different things that you can go through. On the average, each household would spend about $220 per woman in their life. Now, notice this graph. This was a little bit closer. So you had $31.7 billion. In 2023, the number rose to $35 billion. And what does that tell you? That we love you, that we want to cherish you, that we want to spend time doing things, going to special outings. Maybe today is the special meal day you'll get to go out and have and shower our mothers with gifts. Now, what we're going to be discussing this morning is an idea that comes from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Whenever you read through the Proverbs, especially in those first 10 chapters, you'll see Solomon multiple times say, "Hear my son," right? And now what you find in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, is Solomon writing to his son. He says, "Hear my son, give ear to your father's instruction." And then right after that, he says, "Do not forget your mother's teaching." How important is a mother's teaching? Who spends most of their time with the children? The moms do. They spend all that time teaching, and that's why Solomon is making a big point here. Yes, listen to my instructions, but don't forget your mother's teaching. We're going to look at some examples of mothers and their teaching and the impact it had on the children in their life. And what's so great about this list of examples is that we have is not all of them are their biological mothers. We're going to look at one who is a mother-in-law, a spiritual mother. And then we're going to look at another one who is a grandmother. And we're also going to look at another one who is a mother. You see, you don't have to just have the title of mother to be able to mother and teach children. You can play such a huge impact on a young person's life, and they don't even have to be your own. And we're going to learn from one woman who is such a wonderful example of that. And so the first person I want to talk about is Naomi. And maybe you already thought about her as we were going through this, but Naomi in Ruth chapter 1, verses 11 through 18 is such a wonderful example of a mother who actually didn't even mother these children. Notice with me, as her husband has died and her two sons have died, she's left with her two daughters-in-law. And notice what you'll find as you go throughout this, she calls them her what? My daughters. Notice in verse 11, Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands?" Time and time again, she will keep referring to them as her daughters, because to Naomi, they were her daughters. They were hers. They had married her sons, and now she was caring for them. And as you go throughout this, you'll notice that Ruth and Orpah have that same feeling towards her. Now, you'll also notice that as you go throughout this to verse 18, that Orpah eventually will go back to her family and to her roots, right? But what about Ruth? I want you to look at verses 17 and 18 with me, right? Actually, go back to verse 16. "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave or to return from following you. For where you will go, I will go. Where you will lodge, I will lodge. For your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And may the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you.'" How did Ruth see Naomi? Doesn't that sound like a daughter, a biological daughter to a mother? But it wasn't that. And I see Naomi as a mother-in-law who deeply cared, but not only that, she was the spiritual mother to these girls. Notice what Ruth said, "Your God will be what? My God." I wonder how many times that she had time with these young ladies and spent time talking about God with them, telling them about the Israelite God that her family followed. And I wonder how these young ladies were able to watch her and be able to be with her and learn all of these wonderful lessons from her. See, Naomi took a wonderful role and was able to spiritually mother these children. And that's why it's so important. And I want you to think about those in your life that have been spiritual mothers for you. Maybe it's been your mother-in-law. Maybe it was your Bible class teacher growing up. Maybe it was the ladies that would always come in for VBS and they would have such an awesome time and they would grow connections with you. And now later on down the road, you still remember who they are because they had such an impact on you, because they were looking out for you spiritually. And I wonder how many of us would say this same thing to those women that Ruth said to Naomi, that your God is going to be my God. It may have been a Bible class teacher. It may have been a mother-in-law. It may have been some random lady out in the middle of Oklahoma. You see, that's who my spiritual mother is. It was some lady who I was not her biological child. She didn't know me from Adam. But she saw somebody that she said, "Hey, I can nurture him. I can help him. I can be a spiritual mother to him." And this lady, and I hope she'll get to come and visit soon, she was such a great influence on me. I did what Ruth did. I said, "This God that you're following, I want to know more about. I want to learn from you. You have played such a great influence in my life that I want to know more." And when we were living in Alabama, we had another woman there that was so wonderful to not only me and my wife, but also to my girls. She didn't have any biological children of her own. But you know what she did? She said, "Hey, I see all of these kids. I want to pour my life into them." And I'm thankful for mothers out there who have no children of their own, but they have seen such a need for children to have these wonderful spiritual people in their life, and they've said, "That's my goal, and that's my mission." People like Naomi that have poured themselves into people. And because of that, there are converts today in the Lord's church who have said, because of this woman and her teaching, I became a Christian. And I'm so thankful for women that have done that. And I'm thankful for the women in my life that have done that. And so we have Naomi as a wonderful teaching. And you remember, there is an old proverb that we usually will talk a lot about in Proverbs chapter 2, 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What's great about the Proverbs, especially later on in the Proverbs, you can usually take one verse and look at it, right? There's not really a surrounding context. Now, in the first 10 chapters, you can make an argument. But here you have this verse, train up a child in the way he should go. What's interesting is I don't think Solomon is intentionally talking to moms and dads. I think he's talking to everybody. And I think he's letting you know that there are children out there that need to be trained. That way, when they are old, they won't depart from it. So you don't have to have biological children to carry out this verse. And I'm thankful there are people in this world that do that, that help train up children, that have said, hey, you're not my own, but guess what? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to nurture you. I'm going to teach you about God, and I want you to love God just as much as I love God. And I'm thankful that there are women out there that have done that. Another example is actually of two women, Lois and Eunice, and you may have heard of them before. If you want to learn, look in your Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to learn about these two wonderful women, a grandmother and a mother to Timothy, a young man, an evangelist, somebody who was mothered by these two amazing women. I want you to read this verse with me. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Now, you got to understand what's happening in 2 Timothy and why Paul is bringing up his grandmother and his mother when he's writing this letter to him. You see, what happened, if you read through 1 Timothy, Paul is giving Timothy a charge of how he needs to set the church in order and try to get the rules of the God's house and all of this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15, right? He's giving him the house rules. Here's what you need to do. Get elders, get deacons, and set up the church this way in Ephesus. Watch out for those false teachers. They're going to come. 2 Timothy, guess what happened? The false teachers came, and Timothy became timid, and he kind of backed off from being a bold servant of God and preaching the truth. And so now we have Paul writing this letter to really tell him, hey, what happened? What are you doing? And notice he makes a plea to him about the faith that was in his grandmother first and then in his mother, and I know you have it too. Why have you backed off from this? Remember the teaching that you received from these two wonderful women. Now, what's interesting about this as well is notice he says it's a sincere faith. Lois and Eunice had a sincere faith. The word sincere means without play acting or without hypocrisy. See, there was no fake Christianity or there was no fake faith when it came to Lois and Eunice. They were the real deal. They were sincere. He also will then notice, he will then bring up these two wonderful women, grandmother Lois and mother Eunice. They had this strong, sincere faith. And what did they do with that sincere faith? They gave it down to Timothy. They shared it with Timothy. And then you'll notice later on in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Notice, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and having firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, Paul is able to use Lois and Eunice to make a plea to Timothy. To say, look at the faith, the examples you had, the teachings you received. Notice in verse 14, if you caught it, knowing from who you have learned it, Paul says. You see, that would have sparked a thought in Timothy. I know, my grandmother taught me and my mother taught me. They were people from childhood who would acquaint this young man with the sacred writings. I wonder how many times they would have Bible time in the home. Maybe dad was out working, and in Acts 16, you'll learn about how his dad was a Greek, and Luke will mention that when he was in Derbe, he met these people. It says, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. You know, there are mothers out there that are raising children in the faith with no support of a father. There are mothers out there, and maybe the father's not in the home, but there are often times where dads are in the homes, but they have nothing to do with the spiritual raising of the children. And that's sad, and Father's Day's coming. But we have women out there that are like Eunice, who have been raising children to be strong in the scriptures, to understand God, to understand this faith that we have, to be Christians by themselves. And aren't we thankful for women that have done that? Because just imagine with me, you have two young kids, three young kids, one young kid. How hard is it to get them to church? It's hard, right? You've got to get yourself ready. Then they're going to fight you every step of the way. They don't want to wear that dress. They don't want you to touch their hair. They don't want to wear a little tie today. They don't want to take a bath the night before. And see, it all starts way back on Saturday. They don't want to do any of that. But you know what? There are women out there that have fought those fights because they understand how important it is to bring them here, to bring them around other Christians so that they can have that same influence in their life. I wonder if there was ever times when Eunice was like, you know, I don't know how worth it this is, but I'm thankful that she pushed through. And maybe it was because of the support of her mother, Lois, that she was able to push through and help Timothy become who he was, because think about it. Their influence led to an evangelist who helped plant a church and to keep a church going and became one of the great teachers that we see, who became a great preacher and converted many people because of their influence. Moms, you have a wonderful influence on young people. Maybe your son will become a preacher who is out there, and maybe that son will not only be a preacher, but he will be a missionary, and he will go overseas. Or maybe your daughters will grow up, and they'll be people that are also missionaries, or they'll be so active in church, they'll be those Bible teachers that all the kids fight to go and be in their class, right? And what's so cool is that this congregation, my daughters are so excited about their Bible teachers. They have a pool of different Bible teachers, and it's wonderful to see. And maybe you're raising daughters to be those people. See, that was the impact that Lois and Eunice had, a grandmother and a mother. And see, grandmas, I know you're in retirement right now, but there are wonderful grandmothers out there that are taking every opportunity they can, and I'm thankful for that. And so we have these wonderful examples of Lois and Eunice, who have shown that you can be a grandmother and still spiritually impact a child. You can be a mother with maybe out the help of a father, and you can still spiritually impact your children. Then we also have this mother, very famous. We all know her, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And you know, in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, that's the account where the angel of the Lord came down and said, hey, Mary, you're going to be having a child. And she said, that seems pretty impossible. I have not been married. I have never been with a man. And he said, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will take care of it. And you know what her response was? I want you to read verse 38. Notice, And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Think about how hard that would have been for her. She would have been pregnant without being officially married, right? Think about what the gossip would be around town. Think about how Joseph would have been seen. Think about what would have been said, about the ridicule she would have gone through. You think there was times where she would have said, "I really don't want to do this." But notice, she says, "I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me." In other words, she's saying, "Not my will, but yours be done. Whatever God wants to do, I'm going to do it." You think that type of teaching had any impact on her son Jesus? I wonder how many times that she helped Jesus understand the sacred writings that Eunice and Lois did for Timothy. Because when you look throughout Jesus' life, he was a selfless person. But also, when you notice in Mark 14, one of my favorite passages in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus is praying in the garden, he's praying that this cup will pass from him. Notice, he says, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." I wonder if Mary's teaching, Mary's example, Mary's attitude had an impact on her son. What do you think? You think he saw a mother who said, "Hey, I'm just going to go with what God's will is in my life. I'm not going to go against it to push my will. I'm going to go by God's will." And her son, Jesus, got to see that and said, "That's a wonderful example, and I'm going to do the same thing." And that's why at the very end, as he's saying, "I don't want to go through this suffering. Remove this cup from me. But not what I want. I'm going to do what you want, God. I want to do what you have me will in my life." A mother's teaching is so important. A mother's example is so important in our lives. And aren't we thankful for those mothers we have? I want to ask you a question to all you ladies out there. Whether you're a spiritual mother, a mother-in-law, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, or a mother, or an influence in a child's life, what impact will you have? Will you set the example for children in your life? Whether it be through teaching Bible class, whether it be from watching children at your home so that your daughter or somebody that you know can go and spend time with their spouses. What's going to be your impact? Will there be preachers that come from the mothers in this congregation? Will there be Bible class teachers? Will there be good servants of Christ because of the mothers we have in this congregation? Again, I want to reiterate a huge thank you to all the moms out there. And I'm very thankful in my life that I have my wonderful, awesome wife, Heather, who is a wonderful mother in spite of me to our two daughters. She has done an amazing job, and I am so thankful for her because I don't know if you've noticed, I'm the big bearded guy. My nurturing self is not quite there, but Heather does a wonderful job, and I'm thankful for her. I'm also thankful for my mother, who pushed me in my life to be a better person all the time, to always have a conscience, right? That's a good thing to have, right? And she did that for me. She pushed me to always think about what I'm doing. And I'm thankful for our mothers. Now that I'm done talking about mothers, all you other folks, here's your homework. Moms, don't you relax today. But all you other folks, here's your homework. Shower the women in your life with love and appreciation. I didn't tell you anything specific. I didn't tell you a dollar amount. Shower the women in your life with love and appreciation. Maybe that's going to buy them a card. It's not too late. It's still Mother's Day, right? Maybe it's taking them out to eat at a place that you know is their special place. Maybe it's going to do a photo shoot somewhere to take pictures because that's what they really want. I don't know what it is, but shower the women in your life with love and encourage them. because those women have made an impact on your life, and they will continue to make impacts on other kids' lives. So that's what I would love for you to do. Again, thank you so much, mothers, for all you have done. We love you, and we are so thankful for you. Make sure to take a photo outside afterwards. That way everybody can see and appreciate you as well. I am again thankful that I have been able to bring this message, but I also want to extend an invitation for those who may be hurting today, who would love to have prayers. We would love to pray with you. And we have wonderful shepherds here that would love to meet you down here to hear about your cares and your burdens and be able to lift your name before our God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to put Christ on in baptism, become a child of God. We would love for this morning to be that morning. We just ask that if you have any need this morning, you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.